Romans chapter 12 we'll start off with. And firstly, thank you very much for inviting us to come over, and really appreciate the opportunity to come here. And must admit, I started coming here 30 years ago to Rangers camps and seeing some of your parents come here. and to see what I've seen across this weekend is just, to me, it's been one of the most uplifting things I've ever seen in my walk in the Lord. It's like to see what you guys have got here in the youth. I used to be a young people's leader for many a year in Perth, and to see what a fantastic group you've got here is just touching. It's just incredible. Words fail me. So praise the Lord that it's a great little group, and to see those little kids that weren't even born when I come to the Lord, and now a little Simon. I do still remember little Simon. Yeah. And little Emma used to be scared stiff of me. She's standing on the back. She used to run away whenever I came into the hall. Praise the Lord. All right, Romans 12, verse 12. Thought I want to look at today is, obviously our theme is no hesitation, and we've heard lots of different aspects of no hesitation, and we have a little, people have been putting up little thoughts that they've had for camp and camp gems, and one that I've just, someone's just in very small little writing, and it's I think it's incredible. We talk about it when we're talking about the gifts, the way that the different thoughts will come out during the gifts and different ideas, and let's see how you went. From the themes you heard in the testimonies, what do you think the talk might be on today? What did we hear during the testimonies? See if you can work out the theme. Any guesses?
Overcoming.
Prayer. And so it's like these, you know, the two testimonies didn't know what I was going to give a talk on today, and yet it was about the power of prayer and the aspect of. And what I want to look at today is, it says here in Romans 12:12, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing instant in prayer, and that last little bit, instant in prayer. And I guess there's lots of things we can do in our walk in the Lord, and one of the ideas is it's like a reflex action. You know, like if someone throws a ball at you, like where's Daryl? Daryl was in the kitchen there, and he's got this wonderful video of throwing the ball yesterday, and it curving beautifully up like this, and just taking out his camera, full ball, poof, like this. And it was, and the reflexes was that he got his head out of the way, but the camera didn't. So Amy's camera went flying into the bush and cracked the screen protector. But it was a reflex action. And this idea that I want us to think about is, what are our reflexes? Do we instantly panic? So is that our reflex action, is to panic, or is our reflex action to pray? And that's what I want to think about. No hesitation. Is it instant panic, or is it instant in prayer? Is that our first reaction to pray? And I can remember over the years in the Lord, the times where I've instantly prayed, I've seen some amazing things. I remember little things like burning myself on the three times I've used the iron. I had the ironing sitting there on the ironing board, and I reached down to grab it, and I felt it burn my finger, and I could smell the burnt flesh, but I just went hallelujah, and I prayed like that, and then I looked down, and the mark had gone instantly, and you could still smell the burnt flesh. You know, it's like, that's incredible, and yet it was gone. And you know, and you just keep, you know, you keep playing with it. You know, it's like, oh, look, it's gone. You know, and same thing happened again. I was cutting some veggies, and straight through, and I thought, wow, I can see the bone. Look at that. And I thought, oh, that's bad. So, and then I instantly prayed again, and then I looked down, and it had fused shut. And then for the rest of the day, I'm trying to make it come apart. It's like, hey, look at that. Like, I had a line, you could see where the cut was, but it wasn't like, you know, a week later. It was instant. So you still had the evidence, but it was sealed. And I think that idea of what's your instant reaction? Is it instant prayer or is it instant panic? So that's what I want us to think about. And so this idea of continuing instant in prayer. And so as we've heard in testimonies there, the opportunity when it comes up, we've tried it all our natural way, but if we get into the habit of pray first, think later, that's what we want to be trying to do. There was a sister in, you may have heard this testimony, she's in our fellowship in Auckland. She was on the plane where all the engines failed and she was going down and down and down. And she said to her husband, she said, should we pray? And he goes, oh, not yet, you know, everything's fine. And then they kept going down and down and down. And she said, should we pray yet? And he goes, no, we'll be fine, we'll be fine. And then he worked for the airline. And so they announced a little code over the speakers, which meant ditch positions. We're going into the ocean. He goes, now we pray. And they started praying in tongues. And the sister said that it was just this wonderful experience with her and the Lord. And she was just praying in tongues. And then the engine started. Now, I've read the book about what happened. And when they got those engines back and they returned to Indonesia where they'd set off from, those engines could never be used again. They were a write-off. So there's no way knowing those engines could have worked again. And the pitting in the... And it turns out the pitting was so bad in the windscreen from the volcanic ash. But there was just a little gap this big that the pilot could just look through one little gap enough so he could land the plane. So the Lord made sure she made it back and the family. They're all spirit-filled. And it's that instant in prayer. You know, it's like, you know, this idea of, should we pray yet? Should we pray? Should we pray? Yes, now we pray. But let's do it straight away. And I remember when I got baptized, Pastor Alan Thomas, who baptized me, the first thing that struck me about him, all he said all the time was, hallelujah, praise the Lord. I'd never heard anyone say that. It was like, I thought you had to be black to say, hallelujah, praise the Lord, you know. And that was how I was brought up. Like, but this guy just said it all the time. It was like, hallelujah, praise the Lord. How many times is he going to say this? And it was like, but... That was my impression of him. That was the first reaction he had. That was his makeup. And I thought, wow, what a great model that was the way he thought. And it says in Matthew 6, verse 33, if we just turn there, we'd like to follow along. Matthew 6, 33. It says, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. And in the way I like to read, sometimes I like to read verses backwards. So if you want all these things to be added to you, including his righteousness, seek ye first the kingdom of God. And so again, what's our instinct? What's our first thought? What is our first reaction? What are we going to do instantly? Seek ye first the kingdom of God. That's the first thing you do. You pray. Your voice is in prayer to the Lord. You seek ye first. And doesn't matter what you do in your walk in the Lord, if you seek the Lord first, and I think that applies to your prayer life. What do you do in the morning? Have prayer in the morning. If you're someone who's not sure, you don't have a pattern yet, seek ye first the kingdom of God. Pray in the morning because you're putting the Lord first. You know, it's tithing is the same principle. Put the Lord first. Don't go, right, there's so much for the car loan, that's much for this, this much for this, this much for the engagement ring, and this much, for, you know, and all these sort of things. No, put, you know, your offering to the Lord is first. It was off the top. That was where you started from. Seek ye first. We won't have time for it, but of course there's a wonderful example of Daniel. It said that he kneeled upon his knees and he prayed not once, not twice, three times a day. and he prayed. And that was the wonderful thing that, and we know what happened with him, and it also says in Acts 2:42 there, and they continued steadfast in the apostles' doctrine and in fellowship and in breaking of bread and in prayers. So again, that made up the fundament, the foundations of the church, of the revival, was in prayers. And it's so important that, you know, no hesitation. Pray first, think later. Pray first, panic later. Pray first. Let that be the first thing we do. Jesus, we know, understood the value of prayer. It said that he went up into a mountain to pray, and we covered that in some of our talks the other day there. The Lord knew the value of prayer, and he continued all night in prayer. So again, there's that idea of he understood. And in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 17. Very powerful verse. It's just three words long, and it's very powerful. It says, pray without ceasing. And I think what we've heard already in testimonies where we can pray, and then after a while we can cease, and we can think we're not getting through. Abby was saying there that sometimes you feel I'm not getting through, so you cease. But the Lord says, pray without ceasing. Don't stop praying. We sing the chorus. Don't stop. And again, that's, I think, pray without ceasing. You know, don't give up. Never give up, because you pray without ceasing. You as soon as you give up, as soon as you stop praying, it's all over Red Rover. So we don't do that. Again, always be in a state of prayer. You know, be prayerful, full of prayer. And that's what we want to be. I guess we often can say, I'm not going to get through, or I'm not going to get this victory, or it's not happening. And yet, if we give up, right, if we think like that, I'm not going to get through, then that is the opposite of this verse. That is not praying without ceasing. That is ceasing to pray. So little thoughts are, what is our reaction? Pray without ceasing. Don't give up. Keep praying. Elsewhere in Acts it says, and we will give ourselves continually to prayer and to the ministry of the word. Colossians 4:2 says, continue in prayer and watch the same with thanksgiving. Again, having that attitude of thanksgiving. Thank you, Lord. I know you're going to do something here. And that's, again, that expectation. Watch with the same with thanksgiving. Have that expectation. Elsewhere it says there where Peter therefore was kept in prison in Acts 12 there, but prayer was made without ceasing. And again, our sister mentioned this, and I think Harrison mentioned also the idea that sometimes you know that other people are praying for you, and that can be sometimes enough. I remember there was the Pastor Brian, he's from the New Plymouth Fellowship, and he had throat cancer about 12 months ago, and he went through all the chemotherapy, and he basically lost all his voice through the radio therapy, and he couldn't pray. He just couldn't verbalise anything, but he knew people were praying. And that was such an encouragement for him, that he couldn't physically pray, but he knew people were praying for him. All around the country, we had vigils of prayer for him. And now, you know, he's in remission, and he's rejoicing in the Lord, and he's just excited that the Lord has got him through the other side. So again, pray, and it says there, Peter was kept in prison, but prayer was made without ceasing. There's that word again, pray without ceasing, of the church unto God for him. And I guess the other thing to think of is, in our prayer, it's like a prayer bank. If you keep putting in prayer, it's like you top it up. And there'll be, if we are prayerful and we are used to praying and we're praying without ceasing, then what will happen, of course, is that in the event of some time where we've really got to call on the Lord, It's not like a, oh, I've got to pray. It's just automatic. It becomes our reflex action. So maybe just in summary, pray without ceasing. I think Pastor Kevin always says, a pray a day keeps the devil away, doesn't he? Another thought is, this is the day that the Lord has made, so each morning, pray first thing in the day. This is the day that the Lord has made. Another good thought is, a family that prays together stays together. So again, praying with the family, praying together. And I think sometimes a little thought is, a prayer and praise. Sometimes we can pray, and we've heard it in the, you know, sometimes we can zone out. We heard in the little encouragement, one of our sisters was talking there about the gifts, and sometimes you can sort of tune out, and sometimes we can do that in our prayer, but prayer and praise. And I remember someone told me when I first come to the Lord, and it was quite a weird thought at the time, that when you praise, smile. And I thought, what do you mean by that? And it's like, you're coming before the presence of God, you know. Tune in, you know, like you wouldn't, you know, when you're praying, think, wow, I'm before the presence of God. You know, how exciting is this? So again, prayer and praise. And maybe just an encouragement with from the weekend, let's make it that in the mornings, let's put aside... Someone did this to me many years ago, said to me, every morning get up and pray half an hour before you take on the day. And I've done that for 30 years. They encouraged me to do that. I can just say to you, do it. It's fantastic, because you're putting the Lord first and you are praying without ceasing. And all people said, Amen. Amen.